Good morning. Welcome to our service, another week of online service. We're thankful you can be here with us. The book of Colossians tells us to bear with one another. And I hope you can bear with us as we're working to get this figured out, how to bring the highest quality service to you guys while we're apart. And so just some things to think about. You know, we need to continue to support First Baptist Church, and so we have the ability to give online. We are working to get some children's programming online so that the kids have stuff to do when they're at home or while the service is going on. And some housekeeping things, too, to think about. You know, when we're at home and we're watching these, it's really easy to be distracted. We have a million and one things we can look around. I know when I'm at home, I'm always looking at the projects that I haven't done. So I just challenge you guys, before you hit play, that you have your Bibles ready. So you can grab your Bibles right now, because we're going to read from it in a minute. Have the distractions away, maybe be in a room that it's just you and your family. You guys are sitting down together, because this is still service, and I want you guys to worship as a family. I know it's a kind of a unique situation, and it doesn't feel right at first, but it's an opportunity for you guys to grow as a family. You know, and this is also an opportunity to set or create some new goals, some new habits of how to be in God's Word together as a family. And so we're putting out challenges here for you guys. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10, we're gonna read the word together. I'd have you stand, but you're at home, so I wouldn't know if you're standing or not. But let's start out with verse 1. We're gonna read 1 through 16. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in the sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. Isn't that good news this morning? We get to be one flock and we have one shepherd who guides us. I'm going to have Stan come up right now. We're going to pray, and then we're going to study the word together. Father God, we thank you so much that you desire to be our shepherd. Lord, that you sent your son to pay the price so that we can be called your children. Lord, may we hear your voice this morning. May we know you. Lord, challenge us. Grow us into your people. Lord, I just thank you for Stan and his diligence in studying the word and knowing the word. Lord, I just pray you would speak through him this morning, that you would guide us through your word, that we may live it, Lord, that we may live it, that others may know you because of us. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brian. Again, we're meeting on a Friday, which is unusual in itself. My wife and I have been having this conversation over the last few days about how we're all different as far as how we handle times of quarantine. For some, they like being away from people because they like the solitude and they like it quiet. For others, it's very difficult because they're people-oriented, and so they just love being around people and they're energized by that. And I happen to be one of those individuals. So for me to be isolated is very difficult. I love being around people. And I want you to know, for those of you who are at home, I love this opportunity to share with you from my heart and to share the Word of God. I love children's ministry, and if I wasn't a senior pastor, I would be a children's pastor. So I'm going to start off with a children's song this morning, and one that I hope I have the opportunity to sing during our VBS. It goes like this. I just want to be a sheep, ba, ba, ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, ba, ba. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, ba, ba. Don't want to be a goat, nope. Don't want to be a goat, nope. Haven't got any hope, nope. I don't want to be a goat, nope. Don't want to be a hypocrite. Don't want to be a hypocrite. Haven't got hip to it. Don't want to be a hypocrite. Don't want to be a Pharisee. Don't want to be a Pharisee. Cause they're not fair, you see. Don't want to be a Pharisee. Don't want to be a Sadducee. Don't want to be a Sadducee. Cause they're so sad, you see. Don't want to be a Sadducee. Just want to be a child of God. Just want to be a child of God. Walking the same path he trod. Just want to be a child of God. I just want to be a sheep, ba, ba, ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, ba, ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Just want to be a sheep. A little louder, I can't hear you at home. Here we go. I just want to be a sheep, ba, ba, ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, ba, ba. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, ba, ba. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. It's one of those songs that once it gets into your brain, you can't get it out. So if you learned that and sang along with me, you're going to be singing it the rest of the day. We're talking about sheep and shepherds. And this idea of shepherding is a theme that is found throughout the Bible. You can open up to the book of Genesis, and right away in Genesis 4, you will see that Abel tended the flock. His brother Cain tended the ground. And then when you come to the last book of the Bible, in the New Testament, Revelation 7:17, we see that Jesus is the Lamb that's going to shepherd his people once all things have been completed. The patriarchs, all of the patriarchs, were shepherds. We look at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and of course David. And I want to focus on David because he wrote a psalm, and it's called Psalm 23. It's the most read and memorized passage in the Bible. And usually it's read during a funeral. And I can understand that because one of the verses says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But really, the psalm is not just for the dead, it's for the living. So I want to share with you how David was a shepherd and how David also was a sheep. Well, let's look first of all at David's life as a shepherd. So if you do have your Bibles, open to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I'm going to give you a little of the context here before we get to the verses that I want to read. We understand that Saul was rejected as the king of Israel because of his disobedience. And so now God gave Samuel orders to go to Bethlehem and go to the house of Jesse. And Jesse had 8 sons, and that Samuel was going to anoint one of those sons to be the new king of Israel. And so I'm going to pick up this account in 1 Samuel 16 with verse 6. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. That's the oldest son. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shema pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. There he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for he will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David that from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. David had responsibility in his family. Can you imagine being one of eight boys in a family and being the youngest? I'm sure he was treated fairly at times, but also maybe unfairly. It's interesting when you look at families, because it seems like the larger families sometimes have their favorite. And always in a family this large, there are those who feel that they're deprived and they're not getting what they need and want. And I don't know what David's experience was, but it seemed like in this situation, when Samuel had the sons come before, that they ignored the reality that they had the youngest one out tending the sheep. And you have to ask yourself the question, was it because they felt the youngest one was so insignificant and that he wouldn't be anointed? And I'm so thankful this morning that the Lord looks at the heart, not the physical appearance, and doesn't do things the way that men typically do them, especially as we look at families. And as we continue on to look at David's responsibilities in his family, he learned to be a shepherd. We know him from these stories. He was always known as a shepherd boy. And then we look at his experience shepherding, and we go to 1 Samuel 17:33 through 37. Let me give you the setup here for this context as well. So we see that the Philistines are at war with the Israelites. And we have a giant who is called what? Goliath. And he is coming out in front of the Philistine army, and he says something like this. Why don't you send out someone from your army, and we will fight. And if I kill him, you will serve us. But if he kills me, then we will serve you. The challenge was made. Now, David wasn't there when this challenge was originally made. He was home tending the sheep. But his father, Jesse, said to him, David, I want you to take some lunch to your brothers who are out there on the battlefield. And so David took the lunch, and as he's observing the battle and observing what's taking place, the armies lined up in opposition to one another, he heard what Saul was doing, and he also understood that there wasn't a man who was willing to go out and fight him. And we pick up the context here in 1 Samuel 17, in verse 23. As I read here, 33, excuse me, I want to get to verse 33. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Here's David, the youngest in his family, the shepherd boy. His brothers wanted nothing to do with Goliath, but David looked at him and said, how dare you defy the living God, you uncircumcised Philistine? And he was willing to go to battle, and he was willing to defend the Israelite army. What a tremendous story. And most of us understand that story, and I've read it many, many times. So David's experience had taught him that he could battle. If he could defeat a lion and a bear, certainly this man that was standing before him, even though he was over 9 feet tall, and he had body armor that weighed 125 pounds. He had a spear, and the head of the spear weighed over 15 pounds. This was a giant of a man who had been trained in war. And David was willing to go out against him, as we all remember, with his slingshot. And he was willing to engage him. And we know that the Lord gave him the victory because God had empowered him to do that. Now, that was his experience. David was also a sheep. You might ask, well, how can you be a shepherd and also a sheep? Well, David wrote Psalm 23 later on in his life, a small psalm, 6 verses, but in this psalm he confesses that he is a sheep because sheep need shepherds. And when you think about that, it's very humbling because David, he understood, even though he had been a mighty warrior, he understood that he still needed a shepherd to watch over his soul and to keep him safe and to keep him in the situation that was healthy for him. And so we come to Psalm 23, one that we all know so well. It reads like this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David's confession in that first verse: "The Lord is my shepherd." David needed a shepherd because he realized he too was a sheep. And when you think of the characteristics of a sheep, they're not too complimentary. First of all, sheep are timid, fearful, easily panicked. When you think about them, not very intelligent. In fact, there are some other words that can describe them, and I won't use them this morning. But they weren't the smartest creature ever created. They stampede easily, vulnerable to mob psychology, if you can believe that. And when you look at what's taking place in stores when people are stampeding to the toilet paper section, that reminds me of sheep that stampede easily. Little or no means of self-defense. They can only run, and they don't run very fast. They can easily be caught and killed. And that's another characteristic, is that they're easily preyed upon. They're defenseless. And then when we look at the herd, they're jealous and competitive for dominance in the herd. They all want attention. Aren't we like that? Sometimes when they're flipped over on their backs from too much wool, they're unable to right themselves and will die of starvation if not turned over by the shepherd. It's hard to understand that. But as the older I get, I realize that could happen to me. If I roll over my back, I might not be able to get up. Thankfully, we can have others come and lift us up when we're in need of that. And then the last characteristic of sheep is that they're so needy. When you look at all the livestock in the world, they are the most needy. And I look at humanity, and right now humanity has been humbled by this coronavirus. The world thinks that somehow they don't need God. They don't need a shepherd. But what God has shown in the last few weeks is that we need a shepherd to help us, to defend us, and most of all, to deliver us from this virus that is so devastating to so many. David, as he continues on in the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David had lots of wants like all of us, but he realized that he was complete when he had a shepherd with him. That he had needs, but he necessarily wanted those fulfilled, not his wants. And then we see as we continue on in this particular psalm that David said, "He makes me to lie down in the green pastures." Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to make an animal lie down. My son has a dog. The dog's name is Scout. He's a cross between a German Shepherd and I think it's Alaska Husky. And it's a fairly large dog. And he sent this dog off to a school so that this dog could be trained in obedience. This dog was there for 3 months. And when the dog came back, it was amazing how much this dog had learned and what this dog could do. It amazed me. And so as this dog continued to live with my grandchildren, I also noticed after about 3-4 months that this dog was unlearning some of the things that he had learned. Because my grandchildren were playing with him and not making him obey. And so this dog was forgetting what he had learned. And then when we look at Psalm 23, and we realize that sheep, we don't like to do what the Lord tells us to do. Are you aware of that this morning? The Lord gives us a command, and we don't always want to do it because we think we are independent. We don't need a shepherd. And many times we're like that, and many times we're not willing to allow the Lord's commandments to speak into our hearts, and we disobey. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That means that Jesus has a place for us where we can be refreshed, where we can receive those things that we need physically, and that we can continue in this relationship with him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And how we need a shepherd to restore our soul. Because at times we have sin that creeps into our souls. And we need to have the Lord come and wash us and cleanse us and make us clean once again. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Aren't you thankful that we have a shepherd that wants to lead us? The question this morning is, do you want to follow your shepherd? It is the Lord your shepherd. I trust he is, because he is my shepherd. We continue on in the psalm, and we see that David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, for David being a shepherd out in the hills and many times in a very dry and arid place, it wasn't easy to find grass. And it was mainly a dangerous place because there are a lot of crevices, and many times there were areas where animals would hide. It was a dangerous place to be, especially at night. And we understand that David's life was in peril many, many times because of being a shepherd. But he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I don't know if you're fearful right now. I know I have an element of that in my life as I look at what's happening around the world. But I do believe and I do trust that this will one day be over, that we will be able to move forward as a church family, that our lives will resume some normalcy, that we as individuals will have the freedom again to leave our homes and to fellowship with one another and to build up one another in the body of Christ. I hope you're looking forward to that at home. This is a very strange predicament that we find ourselves in, because the body is designed to be in fellowship with one another and not to be separated from one another. David realized that the Lord was with him, just like the Lord is with us. I'm so thankful for that as I stand before you this morning to know that my God is a very present God and that he is with us through this valley of the shadow of death, this coronavirus that has gone all over the world. And then we continue on as we realize that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now understand that a shepherd always had a staff, and you can say with a hook on it. You've seen them portrayed so often in the nativity scene and in other scenes with a shepherd. And this was used to protect the sheep because it was usually at least about 6 or 7 feet, and it would keep a safe distance between the shepherd in the type of prey maybe that was attacking the sheep, but it was also used to correct the sheep. Because many times the shepherd might have to tap them on the head or to get their attention, or he'd have to pull one out with the hook. He used it in that respect also. It's an amazing thing when we think of our God, who is our shepherd, that he says to you and to me this morning, his rod, his staff comforts us, and he's there to defend us and to protect us. And then we continue as we go through this psalm and to realize again that a table was prepared. Now, when you think of a table, it's always going to have food on it. It's always going to have a place where you can rest. And it was before his enemies that God had quieted his enemies so that David could rest and that David could enjoy having his head anointed with oil and that his cup was filled, that it was overflowing. David realized that God was good to him in his time of need, and God took care of him in his time of need as God provided for him. And then as we see ultimately, one day we're going to be in glory. And being in glory is going to be unthinkable. In fact, as we read in the Bible, it says, eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him. And God is preparing a wonderful place for us because we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David needed a shepherd. David realized he was a sheep. Now let me ask you this morning, do you realize you're a sheep? You at home, do you realize you're a sheep in need of a shepherd? In my experience as a pastor, so often in my counseling with some people, they say, well, I don't need anybody. I don't need God. I can do it alone. I can do it by myself. Only for them to finally realize so often that they can't and that they need the Lord. We used to sing a song years ago, People Know the Lord, and that is so true. Because at the end of disappointment and brokenness, who do you turn to? Who do you call upon in your time of need? We see that Jesus was just like David, and he always looked at typology, and I look at especially sheep and shepherd. Jesus was the good shepherd, and Brian read that in John chapter 10, 1 through 16. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus is a good shepherd that takes care of his sheep. Now we're speaking metaphorically here because it's in relationship to our spirituality. It's also in relationship many times to our lives as we walk with him. He is the good shepherd who will never leave us nor forsake us or abandon us. He is the good shepherd that will provide for us. He is the good shepherd that will protect us through life. I just want to say a few verses from that particular context in John chapter 10, because I think it's important again for us to realize that God wants us to be in his fold. And there are some specifics laid out here when we think of how we get into the fold. First of all, as we read in verse 1, that you have to enter by the door. And if you understand something about sheep, at night especially, when the shepherd would put some guards around the sheep, sometimes there were a wall, makeshift wall of some sort, and then there'd be a door into that. It was to protect the sheep, but to go in and out of that, you would have to use the door. And Jesus says that he is the door. Now, again, we're speaking metaphorically, and what it says to you and to me this morning is that the only way that we can be part of the herd, part of the sheepfold of Jesus, is to go through him. Because it says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to him except through him. And that's the reality we face this morning. That if you want to be in Jesus' fold, if you want to be one of the sheep, you have to go through him. Because he is a good shepherd that laid down his life for his sheep. As we continue on in this context, we see how important it is to have this relationship with the shepherd. Again, I trust this morning that you have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because he wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to know who he is. He wants you to know that he came to save you and deliver you from a place of condemnation, a place that is so horrible to even think about. But you must come through him into his fold because he is the door. And then we continue on and we realize that Jesus is not like a thief. You know, the thief doesn't care about the sheep. And there are individuals who are sort of faking being a shepherd at times because they don't care for the sheep. Jesus says he is the one who has come to give what? Eternal life. He said, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I trust again this morning that you have come to the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that can save you and the only one that your soul is looking for and searching for. And then finally, as we think of Jesus as the good shepherd, he was also a sheep. He was the Lamb of God. It's an amazing thing when you think about how our God, who created all things, emptied himself and became one of us. He became part of our humanity. And he identified himself with us. Why did Jesus have to do that? Why did he have to leave his glory behind and come down to this earth? We understand clearly from the scriptures why that had to happen, because we are sinners and we need a Savior. When John first saw Jesus, he made this statement about Jesus in John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus will take your sin. He will take it, and he will pay the price for your sin. He will deliver you and rescue you from your sin condition that all of us have been infected with. And that is by far stronger than any coronavirus, is the sin infection that we all deal with. It says in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things from your vain conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. In Isaiah 53:7, we read this. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before his shears, so he opened not his mouth." Jesus is our Savior. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I don't know how you're handling this particular time that we're going through, but I trust right now, as I'm talking to you, that you realize that you need a shepherd. The shepherd is Jesus. And Jesus wants you in his fold. He demonstrated his love to you. It says so clearly in the scriptures, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have reconciliation. We have forgiveness of sins through his sacrifice on the cross for you and for me. I am getting through this because Jesus is my shepherd. And I trust you want Jesus as your shepherd also, especially as we work through this together. And we look forward to what the Lord has in store. There's hope. There's hope that this will soon be over. So don't lose faith. Continue to look to the shepherd, the great shepherd, the shepherd of our souls, the great shepherd who laid down his life for us, that we might receive the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have demonstrated to us your love through your Son. And Father, we realize again this morning how important our relationship is with our shepherd. And Lord, we confess we don't understand everything that we're going through right now. And we realize how desperately not only do we need to look to you each day, but how the world needs to look to you and realize that they need you. They need you this hour, at this moment in time. And Lord, how we pray that your Holy Spirit will convict them and draw them unto your Son. And we thank you this morning that we can rest and we can find encouragement in our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you in his name. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you one day.